The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, fellas, and God bless you for that. Let's take our Bible and let's go back, if you will, tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 22. And of course, we saw I wanted you to see verse 21. That way you could see exactly what he's talking about, why he was becoming weak. But I want us to read this here again. It says, to the weak, it says, became I as weak, that I might gain, it says, the weak. It says, I made all things to all men, that I might, it says, by all means save some. God is very concerned about the some. September 11th, 2011, it was former mayor Giuliano that said this. He was the New York City mayor, Rudy Giuliano, and he said this when being interviewed about the World Trade Centers and what took place there. I'm going to read you what he said to the public. He said, when everybody was fleeing the buildings, it was the cops, the firefighters, and the EMSs that decided they would go back in where people were coming out. He said they did not wonder the color of the skin, whether the person was white, black, yellow. It did not bother them. They did not inquire about their bank accounts, whether they were making $400,000 a year or $24,000 a year. No, not one time did they think of these things. All they thought about was precious people. He said, I'm convinced that God wants us to value every human life, no matter who it is. And by the way, that's a pretty good soul winning statement right there. God wants us to value every human, no matter who they are. Can I tell you tonight, I want to speak to you for the minutes we have together on rescue workers, the real heroes. Rescue workers, the real heroes. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Okay, so who are the real heroes? What is it like to be able to be somebody that is a rescue worker? And I don't know about you, but when I go soul winning, I take my Bible, open my New Testament, lead somebody to Christ. When somebody gets saved, I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about that. It doesn't matter the pigment of their skin. It doesn't matter the caliber of their background. I'm not asking their educational status or the amount that's in the bank. Doesn't matter to me where they live, whether they live in a trailer, whether they live in an apartment building, whether they live in a nice residential area. It really doesn't matter to me. I'm concerned that they know they're going to go to heaven. I have met many businessmen, had the privilege to show them how to be saved. I remember when Bob was building her house. He was a contractor that we contracted out to build her house, and we used to kid with him. We called him Bob the Builder. But I never will forget when he was finishing up the house. I said, Bob, you've done a great job, and you've helped us out, and I'd like to show you something. We stood in our kitchen area. I took that New Testament out, laid it on the counter. I said, you know, I don't think I would ever be considered a true friend if I let you build my house and not show you how you could go to heaven. And so let's look at this together. Now here's a guy, you know, building a lot of houses, knew what he was doing, expert in his area. I laid that New Testament out on the counter and we went over how to receive Christ as Savior. He said, you know what? I've thought about these things for years, but I didn't know the specifics on it. And he said, now I understand. And yes, in your kitchen, I would like to be born again. And he bowed his heart, received Christ as a Savior in the kitchen. Brother Weslowski and I went out yesterday doing some follow-up afternoon. Boy, everything was going by very quickly. And afternoon, I went down and bought pizza for the ladies in the City of Refuge. Oh, while I was standing there in the pizza parlor, this guy's just kind of standing over there against the wall, minding his own business. And so I struck up a conversation with him and went over and sat down beside him. I said, you're waiting for pizza. I'm waiting for pizza. Hey, let's talk a little bit. Talk to him about going to church. Talk to him about how he can know for sure he's going to go to heaven with just a short amount of time, I was able to take my New Testament, show him his need of Christ, and he bowed his heart and received Christ as Savior. Hey, can I tell you, there's people like that all over the world. You don't have to look very far for them. You don't have to, if you would, please try and dig them out. You're living in an area that is very ripe to the gospel. Let me give you some things about rescue workers that you and I need to consider. Statement number one, rescue workers see the need when others don't. Rescue workers see the need when others don't. You know, those people was in the Twin Towers there in New York. Many of them that was in was trying to get out, but the rescue workers were trying to get in. A rescue worker see the need when others don't. The Bible says over in a book of Acts chapter 20, verse 31, the Bible says, therefore watch and remember that it says, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn. It says, everyone, it says, night and day with tears. Here's Paul, and he said, I just want you to know, for 3 years I did nothing but just warn people. That's all I did. He said, it was just in my blood. It was in my DNA. I just went out there and I just warned people. You said, I don't have the money to be able to do that. Let me give you a startling statistic, if you will. They took a poll of 49 states. There's a couple of refused to give it in, but 49 states. And here's what the 49 states turned in. As far as capital giving, the state of Mississippi in charitable contributions gave last year $4 billion. $4 billion. Are you ready? The state of Massachusetts, according to charitable giving that was recorded, gave less than $20,000. Now, wait a minute. Here, the state of Mississippi compared to Massachusetts, let me give you this. The state of Mississippi is considered one of the lowest economical states in the union. The state of Massachusetts is considered among the four highest income states in the union. All right, so here's a state that is one of the four highest. Here's one that was at the bottom, but they gave more. It wasn't because of their riches. It was because that they saw a need. It was because that they decided they were going to see something. Can I tell you, the danger is real. Can I tell you, the destruction of people dying is sudden. Can I tell you that the degree of the destruction is horrible, it's terrible. And can I tell you, when somebody dies without Christ, I'm telling you, they never get out of that place that is hell until the white throne judgment, then later to be cast in the lake of fire. Can I tell you tonight that rescue workers see needs that other people don't see? Some people come to church and all they see is things to criticize. Other people come to church and they see the needs of people. They want to help somebody. They want to witness to somebody. They want to run beside somebody. They're looking for ways to invest in somebody. Rescue workers, statement number one, see a need. Statement number two, rescue workers search for victims. They search for victims. Here's what it says. Over Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible says, as the Father, Jesus speaking, as the Father have sent me, so send I you. Here's what I found out. Did you know that people that have a heart for souls, I'm not talking about necessarily soul winners. I'm talking about have a heart. They have a heart for souls. They have a heart to see somebody get saved. They have a heart to see somebody get the gospel. They have a heart to help somebody have the financial underwriting to be able to do the work of the ministry whereby somebody's going to get saved. Somebody has a heart for souls. Normally, it's not somebody that's looking inward, it's somebody's looking outward. You take somebody that's looking outward, and can I tell you about that person? 9 times out of 10, they're not going to be a complainer, belly acher. 9 times out of 10, they're always looking for what they see, the unseen. They see the unsought. They're looking for ways to be able to help people. Okay, statement number one, rescue workers see the need. Statement number two, rescue workers search for victims. They search for victims. I don't know how many days, yea, weeks went by when the rubble of New York City was lying there in the midst of the city and they were digging, just trying to find victims. I don't know how many times we've seen different rescue things that have taken place where people go into rescue and they don't give up. They just keep digging. They keep trying to find ways to help. Wait, statement number one, rescue workers see the need. Rescue workers are those that search for victims. Statement number three, rescue workers sacrifice their own lives. One thing I found out many years ago when I entered into the ministry is a service of sacrifice. It's not always that you get the accolades of praise. 90 to 95% of the people that come by my office don't come by to say, just want to tell you, it's great. 90 to 95% of the people come by my office, they come by and say, I got a problem. I've got difficulty. I need a solution. I need help. Well, can I tell you, rescue workers, they'll sacrifice their lives to help somebody else. They'll sacrifice their lives to be able to make sure that somebody gets the gospel. Had a friend of mine that was going to Mickey Holler's church. He was from India, Brother Padawathiko, and he decided that he wanted to go back to India to witness to his friends. So he was telling his friends and his relatives, I'm coming back. But he sent them some gospel information. I guess somebody took it, I don't know, apprehended it, saved it, or whatever the case may be. They took it. And so they found out that he was sending it, so they inquired of these people. Anyway, by the time he got there, he said, Where's my relatives? And they say, You don't want to know. Took him down to an old shack. All those that was in family of six, including little children, beheaded, and their heads were on the shelves. Sacrifice. I'm saying sometimes you just have no. I remember, I never will forget. I was over first time. I won't mention his name, but I took a preacher with me one time, and we were preaching over in Manila, and they had an anti-American rally, and it was just a bunch of thugs getting together, but anti-American rally, and you heard some things going on in the street. You heard some guns popping off and stuff like that, and so I think they got it under control. I really didn't feel like venturing out to say, can I help? And so but I think they got it under control. And but I remember they had that anti-American rally, and we had this one guy that was with me, and that night all of a sudden the generator went out, and when it went out with a bang. I mean, it was struggling, it sounded like a machine gun, and then bang, sounded like something blew up. And so I'm laying in my bed that night, I'm sweating. I get up the next morning, my friend is late, comes down for breakfast, and I said, you okay? He said, yeah. I said, man, did you hear that last night? He said, I sure did. He said, I thought they were attacking the hotel. I said, really? You thought they were attacking the hotel? Why didn't you call me? He said, because I was up underneath the bed. And I said, well, you know, what if I would have got killed? He said, I'd see you in heaven. Rescue workers. Here's what it says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible says, for though it says I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. It says, for of necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me. It says, if I preach not the gospel. He said, I'm just saying this. He said, it's going to be woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. David Livingston was a Scotsman, though he lived, of course, over in the England area. Spent 33 years of his life in the heart of Africa. People scrutinized him. People made fun of him. He said this. He said, under much anxiety, under much sickness, under much suffering, in much danger, I decided that none of those things matter, because serving in the will of God was never considered a sacrifice. So it just depends on how we view it. Statement number one, I'm saying rescue workers see the need. Statement number two, rescue workers search for victims. Statement number three, rescue workers sacrifice their lives. Statement number four, rescue workers stay the course. You want to be somebody that's going to rescue somebody? You can't give up. You can't throw in the towel. You say, well, you know, I knocked on the door one day, talked to somebody, gave somebody a gospel tract, invitation to church. I prayed for somebody. Prayer didn't get answered. No, you just keep praying. You just keep knocking. You just keep inviting. You can't give up on somebody. You may be sitting here tonight. You say, my marriage is in a wreck. I just don't know what I'm going to do, preacher. Well, one thing you don't do for sure is give up. Well, my kid is starting to rebel. I just don't know what to do, preacher. Here's what you don't do. You don't give up.
Amen.
Well, you don't understand. I've got all this, and it's hitting me broadside, and I just don't know what to do. I'm tired, preacher. What do we do? If you're tired, you just keep going.
Yeah.
Hey, born tired, lived tired, died tired, served Jesus Christ, tired.
Yeah.
I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, here's what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. The Bible says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, he says, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He said, I want you to know this has been my heart's burden. By the way, let me ask you, when have you lately had a burden for somebody so overwhelming that you couldn't hold back the tears? Is your daddy saved? Is your mama saved? Is your brother, your sister saved? Aunt, uncle, are they saved tonight? What about the person that lives across the street? Are they saved? Man, I thank God that we have caring people that's in our church. I thank God we have people that want to see people saved. I thank God that we don't have a church full of people that says, well, I don't care if anybody dies and burns in hell. I do have a genuine concern about people. But can I tell you, let that genuine concern be so prevalent in your life that it makes a difference in somebody else's life. Mike Ray was in the gives an illustration. He was in the post office, and he just started whistling. And as he's whistling, people just stopped and listened to him as he whistled. He said, and before you know it, there's just a bunch of people standing around saying, listen to him whistle. Now you can understand that. He's living in Napa. Probably nobody has joy there. In the post office, just whistling, people stopping him. What are you whistling about? What are you whistling about? He said, man, I got Jesus in my heart, something to whistle about. Let me ask you, do you? Do you? Do you? Do you? A couple of them answered no. He tells the story. Was he able to lead some of them to Christ? Right there. Just because he whistled. I'm saying tonight, somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention to you. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, attitude. They're watching you. Hey, if somebody's sitting beside you right now and they looked at your face, would they be impressed or depressed? Somebody's watching you. When all of a sudden preacher gets up and he preaches a truth, can I ask you tonight, are you letting that truth be able to resonate in your heart? Are we more anxious tonight to get out of church than we are to get in church? Are we more excited about what's happening after church? Well, I can't wait because, man, after church, I'm going to see that boy walking down the hallway. Can't wait. I'm going to watch to see what door that boy goes out. Whatever door he goes out, I'm going to chase him. That's called being led to the slaughter. I wouldn't do it. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying tonight, listen, you stay the course. By the way, you ought not to like somebody that's less spiritual than you. You say, preacher, I tell you what, I like him because, after all, he combs his hair. That is not called spiritual. Man, I like him because he dresses up for church. Yeah, some people dress up for a funeral. Doesn't mean they're spiritual. But I tell you what, I like him because after all, he's got a good sense of humor. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is, what is he laughing about? I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, stay your course. You stay the course. I'm going to get on to some of the girls. You don't mind, do you? I think it's all right for you to decorate yourself up and be pretty. But you're not in a modeling competition. If you're wearing something and you're walking down the hallway and everybody's looking at you, you went too far. Now, I believe if the barn's falling down, you ought to fix it up. But most of you girls are still building your barns. You don't have to worry about it falling down just yet. You're going to be okay. Oh, but preacher, I gotta put makeup on. I just got to do it. Why? Do you think you're that ugly? You got to paint it up? Why? Now don't get mad at me. You're going to start throwing stones in a minute, but if you're not a Jezebel, don't dress like one. Be careful. You said, but preacher, you don't understand. I just need to feel beautiful. Feel beautiful for Christ on the inside. Don't try to draw men on the outside. Statement number one, I'm saying this. I'm saying rescue workers see the need. Statement number two, rescue workers search for victims. Statement number three, rescue workers sacrifice their lives. Statement number four, rescue workers stay the course. Paul said, 3 years. I stayed at it for 3 years. By the way, what discourages you so you'll stop before 3 years? Somebody hurt your feelings? Hello? Somebody lead you astray? Hello? By the way, I'm going to help you. You ready? I'm going to help you. Here it is. Here it is. Somebody ever leaves the church and they start talking bad about the church, let that tell off on them to show you that they weren't right when they left the church. Because if they're talking bad about the church since they left the church, it probably means that's one of the reasons they left. Now, can I tell you something about our church? Not a bad church. Preach the Bible, good Bible standards, good music. We believe what's right, practice what is right, don't apologize for it. Now, I'm saying this tonight, rescue workers stay the course. Statement number next, you ready? Here it is. Rescue workers sometimes suffer failure. I've seen people out there, somebody else has got them by the nose. I've seen them take their, what do you call them? Paddles, thank you. I've seen them take their paddles. Paddles. I heard this statement. This is good. You ready? Somebody says, my kid never listens. They have too much wax in their ears. But if you will heat up their oven, the wax will melt. Paddles. Okay, here we go. Paddles. Take the paddles. It took the paddles. And they go, poof. You know, chest pops up. Poof. And all of a sudden, flat lines. Zzz. That's a horrible thing to see.
Yeah, it is.
It's a I've been in many hospitals, and I stood beside the beds, many, where people die in the beds. It's a horrible thing to see.
Amen.
I've been in homes where people die in their homes. I go in, they'll call me up, they'll say, preacher, I think they're going quick. Will you come? I said, I'll be right there. I'll drop everything. I'll throw it to one of the staff guys. I said, I got to go. They'll pick it up, run with it, whatever they got to do. I'll run to be beside someone as they're dying. Now, to be honest with you, I can't do anything for them. Can't do anything for them. But I'm there for their kids. I'm there for a wife, for a husband, grandchild. I'll try and comfort them. I'll pray with them. I'll try to encourage them. But sometimes rescue workers suffer failure. Sometimes they just can't sustain the person. Bible says in Acts 26, verse 28, 29, says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Greatest soul winner of his day. And here's what Paul said as he's talking to King Agrippa. Christ is the one. It's just Christ. Over and over again, he's trying to win him to Christ. King Agrippa comes back and says, well, thou almost persuadest me. You know, sometimes even the rescuers fail. Paul, greatest soul winner of his day, failed. He failed. The Bible says, and Paul said, I would to God, verse 29, Acts 26, I would to God that thou, it says, that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, both almost and altogether, such as I am, except for these bonds. He said, King Agrippa, I wish that everybody underneath the falling of my voice, I wish that everybody that heard about Christ today, I wish everybody would make that decision. The only thing I ask, you know, is these bonds. Make a decision for Christ, but these bonds. I don't wish that upon them. Now, can I tell you, he didn't complain about the bonds. He was focused on Christ. I'm saying this, rescue workers see a need, search for victims, sacrifice their lives, stay the course, sometimes suffer failure, and sometimes they succeed. Man, it's always good when we succeed. It's always good. It always feels good when you succeed. By the way, for me, it's not just in giving out the... It always feels good when you give somebody a Bible answer, they do it, and then it resolves their problem. Man, I tell you what, there's something about feeling good when you succeed. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. He said, I made all things, it says, to all men. Now watch what he says. He says, that I might, it says, by all means win some. He said, look, I just want to succeed with the some. Sometimes we do succeed. It was A.W. Tozier that said this. He said, the history of mankind will probably show up no higher than their religious persuasion. A man's spiritual level in history will positively or negatively affect their nation eventually. Think about that when it comes to Islam. I'm saying that rescue workers succeed some. Let me give you one last thought and I'm done. And that is rescue workers sometimes shine as the stars. Sometimes somebody will go in and it's a miraculous rescue. I remember when I forget how old I was. Might have been after Mrs. Wells and I were married. I don't remember the story. I don't remember where it was. All I remember, there was a child that was in a deep hole. I don't remember anything else. All I remember, child, deep hole. And I remember for days, was it here in Texas? Jessica McClure. You want to tell the story? Here you go. Oh. She's out of the hole. Yeah, I knew that. Thanks. But I remember that story. Now, I don't remember all the details. He does. I don't remember all the details about, but I remember that hole. I do. And I remember us praying for that little girl. Never met her. Never shook her hand. Okay, I got another one. I remember a bus Seagoville Road. Baptist Church. Coming back from camp.
Guadalupe River.
Guadalupe River.
They did make it.
They did not make it. Isn't it something how we remember stuff like that? And it breaks my heart when people just don't make it. I get the privilege to travel some. Not like I used to, but some. I'll fly into these big cities. When you fly in at night and you see all the lights. I can't begin to tell you how many times, Brother Kramer, I've sat by the window, flying into a city somewhere where I'm preaching in a meeting, and I see all the lights, and I'll just look out there, and I'll just begin to cry. Because every single one of those lights represents one or more souls. As I fly out, I also fly back. So I'm flying into Dallas or Love Field, DW, or I'm flying into Love Field. Here's what I'm finding out. Dallas is massive. I'm talking about this place goes on forever. And you fly in, you're flying over all these houses, and I'm thinking, wow, all these people. And I'm sorry, but when I go out soul winning and I talk to people, most of the people I talk to are lost. They're not saved, they're lost. When I'm passing out tracts, and I appreciate this morning I gave a message this morning, I talked about that gospel track, and I saw new members going down there to that track bin and grabbing tracks out, and as they're walking out, here's what they're doing. And I'm talking about a bunch of them.
Amen.
Here's what they're doing, walking by me, saying, I got mine.
Amen.
I got mine.
Amen.
Hey, come on. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, it is important for us to understand where we are. When I became the pastor, Union City Baptist Temple, small town, I told my wife, I said, if we will obey God and lead these people to have a strong, independent Baptist, soul-winning church, and we're going to teach them all the doctrine, but if we can help them to be soul winners, God, you watch it, will build this city. We weren't there, but about a year, all of a sudden Tyson moved in. And I'm talking about offering hundreds and hundreds of jobs to people as they moved in there. Then all of a sudden, another big factory moved in. I said, look, honey, it's happening. It's happening. See, when there are soul-winning churches, I believe that God, this is my personal belief, and if you're a preacher listening, don't bash me, but my personal belief, when you're a soul-winning church, God gives you opportunity. So it doesn't surprise me that the stats that was given to us of 10,000 people moving to the Dallas metro area a month, that doesn't surprise me. You know why? Because you're here. You're here. God says, I know they'll win them to Christ, so I'll just send one their way. I know they'll give them a gospel tract, so I'll just send one their way. I know they care, so I'll just send one their way. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that that rescue person will sometimes shine as the stars. Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 3, the Bible says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The Bible says, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars are, it says, forever and ever. So the Bible talks about how you and I could be those, okay, Bob Hughes, closing illustration. Bob Hughes all of a sudden found out he had cancer. Now he's from Center, Texas. He's from the church, if you will, please. In Center, Texas, the Central Baptist Church that our speaker for the week is from, wasn't there though when Bob Hughes was there, right? He was there? Not Brother Dotson, but somebody else. But from that same church, very small town, is that right? You're my history guy tonight. You're doing good. Okay, so very small town. Not something in the limelight. Bob Hughes dropped out of school, ninth grade, quit it all, had to work, sustain the family. All of a sudden, God got a hold of his heart, went into the military. During that military service, he was there in the Philippines, and God said to his heart, "This is where I want you. This is where I want you." He decided he was going to go over there. He surveyed the area. God led him to a place called Cebu. It was the central island of all islands. So he went to Cebu, started passing out tracts. I know where they started. I know the house they started in. Been there many times. Started in a small house. Got some Filipinos in. One of the first Filipinos that he got in was a guy by the name of Dr. Army Jasalvo, was a medical doctor. Later on, he became the Sunday school director. Now he pastors that church today. But watch this, if you will. Listen to me. Bob Hughes got cancer at a very young age. He came back to the States, and he took the challenge. And he said, he preached a sermon all over. I sat where they sat. And he said, "But I'm dying." He went to college after college that would have it and say, "Would you take my place? Would you take my place? Would you take my place?" Young man, if you blew hard, he'd disappear in the dust. Very small, structured body by the name of Rick Martin. I preached for Brother Rick several times over in Elu, runs 5,000. Here he is, very small featured man sitting out in the congregation. He said, "Bob Hughes says somebody needs to go and take my place." Rick sat there, Brother Martin did, and said, "I'll go." Unbeknownst to him, other side of the building, there was a guy by the name of Kevin Wynn. God spoke to his heart about the same time, said, "God must need somebody in Mexico too. I'll go." Very seldom do you ever hear about a Brother Wynn baptizing less than 600 on a Sunday. On a given Sunday. Very seldom do you ever hear there's a Sunday goes by, he doesn't baptize at least 600. One message, one man, dying of cancer. Are you listening to me? Somebody's going to read your life. How are they going to be challenged from your life? "Well, I used to be. Well, I used to be a bus worker. Well, I was a Sunday school teacher. Oh, yeah, I remember the day when I used to go soul winning and take people out and train them and we knocked doors together. Oh, yeah, I remember the day when I used to sing in the choir. I remember the day when I was on fire for God." Then get it back. Get it back. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there are those that are rescuers that sometimes shine as the stars. Today, out of the Elu Baptist Church in Elu, Philippines, there's been over 800 independent Baptist churches started from his graduates. Amen. All because of one man. He was supposed to speak at the pastor school. It was back when the day was small, wasn't a lot of guys that was going to it. He had a relapse. He said, "I got to go." They said, "You can't go. We're not letting you check out." He said, "I'm going. I'm going." They said, "Sir, if you check out, you're checking yourself out. Doctors, we don't advise it." He said, "I don't care what you advise. I'm going." Came across the platform that night, IV in the arm, holding the, walking across the platform, got up, spoke for about 8 minutes. That's all he could do. Crying, begging, "Will you go? Will you go?" Now, can I tell you, for some of you, Mesquite's not it. For some of you, Lone Star Baptist College is not it. You are passing through. That's all you're doing. And we thank God we can influence you. We thank God for a little while you let us be your friend. We thank God for that. We thank God for the privilege. But for some of you, it's going to be a village somewhere. We're not here to keep you. Now, by the way, some of you, please stay. Everybody go. Brother Wells gets up. Okay, Brother Palmore, open your Bible too. By the way, tell me that story. Give me this illustration. And he says, amen. Be a lonely day in church. I'm saying this. Somebody has to stay. Yes, but not everybody stays. We've had people leave the church, go on to be assistant pastors. Hey, thank God for them. Leading people to Christ somewhere else other than here. That's great. We've had people leave the church, go out and fulfill the will of God in other areas in their life. Hey, thank God for that. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, look, God's looking for some people that will shine as the stars. Not rock and roll. Not American Idol. I'm talking about for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.